Take your Bibles and open up to the book of Matthew. We're going to jump in now, and we're going to continue on in the passage that was begun last week. Last week, we were talking about prayer, and we're going to kind of keep going. You know, over the last several weeks, this summer, we've been involved in a teaching series, and we're calling it 12 Habits for Holiness. And we've been talking about in the series, we've covered why should we be involved in disciplines or habits or rhythms of holiness. We've been talking about Bible reading. We've talked about prayer. And now we're coming to the joyous one called fasting. Oh, I heard that. I heard somebody go, ugh. Listen, some of you right now are trying to put your donuts away. You can have those after this message, all right? No, really, fasting is an incredible opportunity for us that I want us to be able to look at and talk through. It's kind of like, though, the Sasquatch of all the disciplines and habits. You've read about it in Scripture. You've heard about people talk about it, but it's not evident in a lot of lives. You can't find it in people. Well, we're going to take some time today and talk about what does fasting do? Why do we fast? What's it all about? I don't know if you know this, if you've caught this or not, or if you've read through. Did you realize that fasting is described in detail and talked about more than baptism in the Bible? Over 70 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you hear about fasting. Fasting was normative. It was normal and expected in the life of the early church. Yet, in our lives today, it's something that's kind of hidden away. We don't talk a whole lot about it. We don't practice it. Maybe we spend time in prayer. Maybe we're working hard in our devotion time. We're trying to worship privately, singing, but fasting is something that we don't see a whole lot. Well, today I want us to spend some time on that, because if Jesus desires us to be fasting, if he talks about that and it's important to him, then we need to know what it is that he desires and how we're to go about this. As a church, many of you have, if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that we as a church, we've had a time previously called our sacred gathering. And our sacred gatherings are times where we corporately, as a body, as a church, we come together and we pray and we fast and we seek God. And we say, God, what do you want to do with us as a church? And that's a good thing. We've done that like 2004, 2008. We did it again in 2012. In fact, the last time we did it was in 2017, where our family emphasis, the Lord and the emphasis of the family, kind of came up. And that's good. We need to be doing that as a body. But I want you to know that corporate fasting does not equal individual fasting. We would never encourage you, hey, just read your Bible when we gather together corporately. That's the only time we read our Bibles. We would never encourage people, hey, just pray when we come together corporately. We're just going to worship when we come together. Listen, corporate fasting is important, but I want you to know that individual fasting is a habit and a discipline and a habit or a rhythm of life that we ought to be about in our own personal walk. Even when we're not calling one another together as a church. You know, as the individual members of the church go, so goes the rest of the body. So it's important for us to be studying the Word, for us to be worshiping, for us to be praying. But it's also important for us to get, what is it that God desires for us in this area of fasting? So with that, let's look what he has to say, because what Jesus has to say is very important. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start reading in verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, and remember, he's carrying on what we talked about last week in prayer, okay? Prayer and fasting are always connected. So let's look here in what he says. Verse 16, he says, if you got a pen, a piece of paper, take some notes. If not, I want you to take in some notes with your thumbs on your personal device or something, because there's some things I want you to see here. He says, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, okay, he says that at the beginning of 16, he says it at the beginning of 17. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. That phrase right there goes all the way back to verse 6, because he was talking to the people about prayer. And he says, hey, listen, the hypocrites are doing this wrong. They do it so that they can be seen. They've gotten their reward already. That's what he says about fasting. He says, listen, pray to your Father who is in secret, and he will reward you in secret. He's telling us now that when we fast in secret, because our Father who sees in secret will reward in secret. You see, the hypocrites of that day, what they would do is they would go out, the Pharisees, and they would put their fasting on display so that they might be seen by all, so that everyone would see. And yet, they weren't smiling. The scripture says that they had gloomy faces. They had their lips turned down. They were all sad. They're dragging. The passage says, anoint your head. They didn't do anything to their bodies for personal grooming, it says. They just looked, woe is me, sad is me. And Jesus says, no, listen, don't do that. Listen, you clean up, you shower up, you look like a normal day. You do this in secret so that your Father sees in secret and he rewards you. He hears your prayer. Now, I told you I wanted you to write down a couple of things. I want you to underline the beginning of 16 and underline the beginning of 17. I kind of pointed that out. He starts with a very convicting statement. He says, when you fast. And then in 17, when you fast. So the principle here is this, is that Jesus is expecting us to fast. Fasting is not for the few. It's not for the monks and the legalists. Fasting is for all of us. He's expecting, he's calling. He says, listen, this is normative. This is what you do. As a follower of me, we fast. We put aside, I want you to catch this, we put aside something good so that we can get something greater. I'm putting aside the giver of the gift, I'm putting aside the gift that he's given me, the good food, because I want the giver of the good food who is greater. I'm putting that aside so that I can get him. Fasting is all about knowing God more. It's not knowing more of God, because listen, I want you to hear this. When you surrender your life to Jesus, fasting has nothing to do with your right standing before the Lord. Our right standing before the Lord is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he and his finished work on the cross, because of him and my life surrendered to him, I am right before God. Fasting does not make me right before God. What fasting does is it restores a relationship where there may have been some sort of something between us, a miscommunication or something, and I'm going before him so that I can know God more. How do you know God more? By spending quantities of time with him. And as you spend quantities of time with him, you're knowing more about him, who he is, and what he desires in our life. And if that's what God is desiring for us, then let's talk about, well, what is biblical fasting then? Because I don't know if you catch this or not. There's a lot of fasting going on today. Do you know there's a brand new diet out, and it's called intermittent fasting, where you don't start eating, you're only eating for certain parts of the day, okay? That's not a biblical fast, all right? Peyton Bullen, our missions pastor, and I had the opportunity to go to Egypt a couple of weeks ago because we're looking at a new opportunity the Lord may be opening up for us as a church in the Middle East. Well, in Egypt, the dominant religion is Muslim. Those who follow Islam are Muslims. And so we were there during their holy month of fasting called Ramadan. They do not eat while the sun is up. The sun came up at 4:30 in Cairo. It went down at 8:45, which means that they could eat between around 9 p.m. and 4:30. One of the facts that I learned while I was there is that there is more food eaten during the month of Ramadan than there is throughout all the rest of the year. Jesus is telling us in the scripture, listen, there is a right way to fast and there's a wrong way to fast. They're not doing this right. So what is a biblical fast? Well, a biblical fast is this, and I want you to write this down. Biblical fast is this. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. It is a spiritual discipline that involves partially or completely abstaining from food and drink. It's a spiritual discipline that involves partially or completely abstaining from food or drink for kingdom purposes. For kingdom purposes. Fasting is never, ever about me or about you. Fasting is never about your holiness. Fasting is always about God and getting Him. There are things that we see and understand. There are benefits to fasting, but those are not the goal. The goal is God. It's about putting aside the good so that I can get the great. It's about putting aside the food so that I have the Father. He is the one that we go after. So if you're skipping some meals, catch this. If you're skipping meals in hopes of losing some LBs, and oh, by the way, I'm going to throw a devotion in there, that's not a biblical fast. That's a bad diet at best. All right? Because fasting is never about weight you lose. It's never about the holiness you gain. It's always about knowing God more. Fasting is always about Him, okay? So you've got to be able to catch this. So the reality is, it's like any other spiritual discipline, fasting can be done wrong. Anytime Jesus is not at the center of our spiritual motivation, if Jesus and God are not at the center, we are getting off. So if your Bible reading is all about just checking off that I made it this week, hold on, you're missing it. We're missing it. If our prayer and our singing is about a good feeling that we have when we're doing that, we're missing it. Do we have a good feeling? Yes, but the motivation is God, not the feeling. Look what he says in verse 16. In verse 16 of Sermon on the Mount, he's calling us to fast and correcting when he says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites? The Pharisees, who put their spirituality on display so that everyone would see them and go, oh, hey, they've got it together. Look at them. Look at them. He says, no, don't do that. When we fast, listen, you know what the focus is? It's God. It's His kingdom. It's His desires in our life. That we don't fast. Fasting is not a hunger strike. Okay? Catch this. Fasting is not a hunger strike. I remember growing up, many of you may have seen this before, activists who want to get something. They're trying to make a statement, and so they'll go on a hunger fast, and they will refuse to eat. I remember watching the news, and I can't remember, I want to say it was in college, and I remember this guy who was on a hunger fast, and he ended up, literally, he sewed his lips together so that nothing could go in. Listen, we do not fast to hold God hostage so that He does what we want. Just like praying, praying doesn't get God to us, it moves us towards Him. Do you know what fasting does? Fasting doesn't hold God hostage so that He will do something. Fasting moves us towards the will of God, so that our life is lined up. And God, I want what you desire. I need you. God, I'm asking you, who are you? God, I want to know more of you. We're going to see in just a little bit, there are times in the scripture, descriptive times when people fast. There are descriptive times when we fast. And there are things that happen because of, as a result of the fast. But it wasn't to get God to move, it was to know God. And when we know God, He moves and does things that we're not expecting. Do you understand? You see, as you grow in your walk with God, everything is about your motivation. Why am I posting what I'm posting on Facebook? Is it so that I can get likes? It's about motivation. God, why am I fasting? Is it so that I'll lose weight? Is it so that people will look at me and go, oh, that's a spiritual... No, see, it's about motivation. Is it about, I read the word so that I can answer everyone's question? No, it's about knowing God more. You see, all of these habits, these rhythms, are so that we can know God. And when we know God, you know what happens? I don't know what happens. But whatever happens, it's all right because I know God. And I know that He has brought it. And we're going to be okay. Listen, fasting is always about Him. Our focus is on Him. Notice in Zechariah, Zechariah's in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5, the Lord confronts the people, His people, through Zechariah, and He says this, "Say to all the people of the land and the priest, when you fasted and mourned, was it for me that you fasted?" He says, was it for me that you fasted? May we always be answered, yes, Lord, it is for you. You see, your holiness is never the focus. It's always God. Fasting is about Him. Now, some of you right now, you've already turned me out. You've just, whoop, you're turning the dial right now. You're talking about food. I'm not going to get involved in this. I don't want to fast. You've already moved on. Here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to hang here with me. Because typically when something like that begins to happen, for me, that's usually a sign that the Lord is wanting me to hear something from Him. So please, don't check out yet. So if that's the what of fasting, let's talk about the different types of fast. And I'm going to say these really quickly, all right? Because these are, I think they're important, but you need to know the different types of fast. In the scripture, there are basically four types of fast. The first one is called the regular fast. The regular fast is what Jesus did when He went into the desert. After He was baptized, the scripture says the Holy Spirit led Him to the desert. And while He was in the desert, Satan came against Him to tempt Him, to go against who He was and His mission. And the scripture says that He was there, and for 40 days and for 40 nights, He fasted. For 40 days and for 40 nights, He fasted. He had no food. And the scripture ends right there, and it says, and He was hungry. Notice that it doesn't say, and He was thirsty, because a regular fast typically means that you don't eat food, but you still intake liquids, because you know your body can only go without liquids for about 3 days medically, okay? So he took a regular fast. That's usually what we call people to here when we do our fastings, is that it's a regular fast. There's also a type of fast. The second one is a partial fast. In Daniel chapter 10, you find that Daniel says he was mourning and he was upset over the sin of his country, of his people, and he was mourning before the Lord. And it says that for three weeks while he mourned, he had no delicacies, he had no meat, and he had no wine. So he fasted. It was a partial fast where he set aside some things so that he could focus on the Lord. Now, for some of you in here, you have medical situations. I had a man come and talk to me just a little while ago after the first service, and he said this. He said, you know, I can't fast because I'm a diabetic. And I said, I completely get that. The issue here is maybe you can do a partial fast. Do you remove something from there? Not the things that are essential, but could it be something partial that you remove? Maybe it's not a meal, but it's a type of food that I'm going to hold back from. You begin to look at it from that standpoint. What is it? And there's a partial fast. The second or the third one is what's called as a complete fast. A complete fast in Scripture is no food and no water. All the places that you look in Scripture and you see that, you typically have 3 days is what they look like. 3 days. And they're very extreme circumstances. Very extreme. When Saul, who was later to become Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus and he had the encounter with the Lord, the scripture says he was blinded. The people who were with him led him into Damascus, and he was in a room. He was at a house there. And for 3 days, it said he fasted, no food and no water for 3 days. In the Old Testament, you have Queen Esther, the one that we get for such a time as this. She was getting ready to go before the Babylonian king who held them captive because they were about to destroy the nation, all the Israelites. And she called her uncle Mordecai and said, Mordecai, I'm going to ask you, you assemble all the Jews in Susa and you ask them to pray and fast for 3 days, no food, no water. Me and my maidservants, we will do the same thing. This is a pretty extreme fast. And I would encourage you, if this is something you were to ever feel like the Lord is leading you to, you need to see your doctor ahead of time for something like this. Because physically, the body has about 3 days without liquid. And this is a supernatural thing that you see that the Lord does and has done in sustaining them. The fourth one quickly that you see in Scripture is from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. And it's a sexual fast where a man and a wife, a husband and a wife, they commit to one another. They agree with one another. They give mutual consent, the Scripture says, that they're going to have no physical intimacy for a period of time for spiritual reasons so that they can pray before the Father. And it says he even goes so far as to say, keep the time short so that neither one of you fall into temptation. But these are the four types of fast that you're going to find in Scripture. Now, there's a new fast that we hear in our day that's a different kind of phenomenon. Maybe you've heard of this before. People who, they set aside social media. They set aside entertainment. They set aside something that they desire. And typically, you hear of that when people who have medical situations, because there are people in this very room who have medical situations that they cannot physically, because of their health, do without food. Well, the issue here is this. What is the good gift that is occupying your time? What is the good gift that is occupying your time and keeping you from the giver of the greatest gift, Jesus? What is it? How can I set that aside so that I can go before the Father? Because hear this, fasting is always about getting God. It's always about taking the good gift that He gives us and saying, I'm going to set it on the sideline for a period of time so that I can get God, so that I can know God more, because I want intimacy with Him. I want to know Him. Now, for many of us in Western thought, in the Western world, America specifically, we don't have a medical issue. What we end up doing is we're fasting from fasting, not because of medical issues, but because of fear. You know what the fear is? Fear of missing a meal. It's the fear of I'm going to feel something, and I don't want to deny myself of something so that I can get the greater good. We don't eat when we're hungry. We eat when the clock goes ding. We eat when we're stressed. We eat when we're riding down the road. When you get gas and you got to pop into twice daily so I can get a Coke and a donut or something. You see, listen, there comes a point, and you need to hear me. I'm talking to me right now. There comes a point when we have to say, God, I'm setting aside so that I can get You. I want You, God. I need to hear from You. You are a good God. Listen, food is not evil. We need food. God has given us the gift of food. Did you realize that? Think about a good night for you. If you're like me, this weekend, Amy and I, we were looking, thinking about things we were going to do, and you know what we did? We planned it all around what we were going to eat and where we were going to go. Your house, you get up in the morning wondering, what are we going to have for dinner? Where are we going to have for lunch? Where are we going to go? I'm making my plans. Well, I've got a lunch meal. I've got a lunch meeting. Food is not evil. In fact, much of the fuel for gospel expansion in the Scripture, in the New Testament, happened around tables where people were eating and drinking and they were having a good time with one another. Food is a social activity. We need food and we need people. The problem is that we minimize how much we need God. We believe that if we can fill our stomachs, we'll be enough. And I want you to know that our souls are empty today because we're not emptying our stomachs and allowing the aches, the pain, to drive us in desperation to the one who can sustain us and fill us with what we need. And I want you to hear me. I'm not pointing at you. I'm speaking to me. This is something that we're all in the middle of. You know, I've been a part of corporate fast. I've done individual fast. I've done extended fast. But I wish I could say that this fast, this type of fasting, was a regular practice in my own life. The Lord has challenged me this week with, what is my view of good things versus the greater good, God Himself? And our prayer this week has been that God would challenge each of us and that He would speak to us so that we might get Him. You see, when we set food to the sidelines for a period of time and say, God, You are the one that I want. God, I want this aching. God, I want this gurgling. Not to remind me of how hungry I am, I want it to be a call to get on my knees before You. God, when I don't think I can make it to lunch, God, I want You to be my sustenance. I want You to be the living bread that fills me. I want You to be the living water that keeps me from ever thirsting. But so often what I find is that we are drinking from broken cisterns, as the scripture says, that will leave us thirsty and hungry. And yet God desires and says, hey, come after Me, come after Me, set it aside for a period of time, and I will be everything that you need. So let's talk for a few minutes here about the when of fasting. When are some opportunities? When are some times to fast? In the scripture, we talked about a couple of them, but you may want to write these down. In Nehemiah 1, before Nehemiah was to go back to Jerusalem to help build the walls, he had a real issue. He's before the king as the cupbearer, and he knew the king wasn't going to let him go back, probably. And he got before the Lord, and the scripture says he prayed and he fasted, and he said, God, what would You do? God, what do I do? God, I'm trusting You. God, forgive us, forgive our people. We've sinned against You. We've sinned against You. God, I need Your voice, and I look for You, and I'm listening for You. Jesus, before He started His earthly ministry, He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. Daniel 9, Daniel confessed the sins of God's people before the Lord. And it says he sought Him, God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. God, we need You. You see, when we fast, we're seeking after God. So often what we think is we're just putting away food. You're not just putting away food, you're seeking God. God, I'm desiring You. You see, You've got to begin. We have to change our focus. And when we focus on food, it becomes more difficult. When we focus on, I'm going after You, God. I'm setting aside the good for the great. He then becomes our all and all. You've got to understand that fasting is never about right standing. Fasting is not about right standing. It is about opening and restoring our relationship with the Lord. We are in right standing because he sacrificed His life and we are submitted to Him. When we fast, we're seeking God. We're allowing the food that we've put aside. We've put aside food, and now then we're filling our bellies with His presence, with His word, with His songs, and with His people. And when we do that, we find that He is our all in all and will sustain us. Back over in Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, down from there just a little bit. Matthew 6, 33, the scripture says this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." So what things is it that He's talking about? Well, In Matthew 6, he begins by saying, this is how you should pray. When you pray, pray like this. He moves into the next section and he says, when you fast, fast like this. Prayer and fasting are always connected. You need to know that. I've said that. I want you to hear it. Prayer and fasting are always connected. Well, he goes on after that to talk about this. He talks about money and possessions. And then the next section is about being anxious. And he says, listen, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to, where you're going to sleep. Don't be anxious about what you're going to wear. And he closes by saying, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. How do you seek his kingdom and his righteousness? Through prayer and fasting. Listen, what prayer and fasting does is it breaks the hold of possessions, it breaks the hold of money, it breaks the hold of anxiety, it breaks away the hold of tension and stress. Because when you are setting aside, you're running hard after all these things, after all these things, after all these things, after these gifts. Some of these gifts are very, very good. And you say, God, I'm going to set aside the gift and I need you, the giver. You, God, are what I want. I'm setting aside the good for the great. And when we do that, listen, he begins to be our all and all, and come what may. It's difficult. I want you to hear that. Doing this is difficult. But do not let the difficult stop you from gaining the great. So how do you do it? Practically, I'm going to give you four steps and a little acrostic called FAST. So if you're writing down something, put F-A-S-T, right? Quick little of acrostic on how do you fast. Well, first, you focus on God. First, you focus on God. Remember, fasting is always spiritual. Don't focus on the food, focus on God. Spend time with him. If you're fasting breakfast, for instance, focus on him during breakfast, all right? Get with him. I want to hear you. I want to know your voice. The time you would spend there, well, go to the A. The A is abstain from food. So, God, I'm going to put away this food. So if you're fasting breakfast, you sit down, bring your Bible, bring a journal, and I'm not. And the time that you would spend eating, spend that time in devotion time. You'd say, well, is that my quiet time? No, I would tell you, have your quiet time like you normally do. And then the time that you would spend eating, extend it. Spend that time with the Lord, writing down, God, you may be confessing, Lord, I am so hungry right now. My stomach is screaming to me. I need you to sustain me. And you begin to read the word. God, be the living water. God, be the living bread within me right now. Fill me, sustain me. So you're focusing on God. You're abstaining from food. Look at the S. The S is you're substituting food with prayer and Bible. I've told you about the devotion time. Well, here's what's going to happen. Mark this down. Here's what's going to happen. So you're fasting breakfast, say, somewhere around, depending on what time you normally work and eat lunch, somewhere between breakfast and lunch, you're going to get really hungry. Your stomach is going to be like doing flips. You're going to hear all kinds of noises. You know what that needs to be? Not a call to eat, but a call to pray. In that moment when you feel that and you hear that and you're that pain, let that ache and that pain drive you to the Father and say, Father, I need you to help me right now. I need you. I need you. And you spend time reading the word, singing back to him. And then the T is this. The T, as you fast, you're hungering for holiness. And Psalm 34:8 tells us to taste and see that the Lord, he is good. The scripture tells us that your words are better than life. My soul longs, it thirsts for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Listen, today, do you hunger and thirst for the Lord God? Today, are you willing to set aside the good so that you can get the great? Are you willing to set aside the gift so that you can have the giver? Listen, you know what the gospel is here in the middle of all this? Do you realize that Jesus in heaven was with the Father when the entire earth was created, the world was created, when it was spoken into creation? And what did God say? It is good. And here's Jesus in heaven, in a land where there is no heartache, there is no sorrow, there is no death. And you know what he did? He saw the face of God every day, perfect communion. He fasted 33 years on this earth, the face of God. He didn't count, Philippians tells us, a quality with God, something to be grasped, but he set it aside, took on became a servant, took on flesh and blood. He fasted the face of God so that he might come and do face-to-face battle with Satan and overcome sin. In a land where there is no death, he fasted that land for 33 years, and he came and he conquered death on our behalf. Listen, Jesus came and he lived and conquered a 40-day fast so that we might realize that we ourselves can set aside food, which is good, so that we can gain the greater, which is God. I want you to know that today there are some of you in here, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And the gospel today is that Jesus lived a perfect life. He stepped out of heaven, planted his feet on this earth, born of a little virgin girl, grew, lived a perfect, sinless life, so that we might be able to trust in his sacrifice, his death on the cross, so that we could claim his righteousness and him take our sin. Today, for some of you, you need to turn to that. For others of us in here, you need to turn away from all the gifts and say, I'm going to put them on the sideline so that I can have the gift giver. I want to challenge you. I'm going to call you to a fast. Here's what I'm going to ask of you. I'm going to ask that over the next two Tuesdays, this Tuesday and the next Tuesday, I'm going to ask, would you fast with us? I'm planning to fast the next two Tuesdays. You decide what kind and what it looks like, but I want to set aside food so that I can have the gift giver. The second Tuesday, June the 25th, we're going to have over 600 kids at youth camp, camp whatever. And that Tuesday night is the night that they're going to hear the gospel. And here's what I know. Just like we talked about last week, you know what kind of prayers the Lord loves to answer? His promises. I've said, if you're not seeing prayers answered, well, start praying his prayers. Start praying his promises and watch what he does. Well, on that Tuesday, as we set aside food and we go before the Father and we cry out to him about his word, God, you want to save people. God, you want to call people to yourself. Your word says that you save people. We love because you first loved us. I'm asking you now to awaken dead hearts. And as we pray that, we're taking more kids to camp this year than we ever have. Might this be the year we see more people come to know Jesus than ever before? Might this be the year that we see people, boys and young ladies, young men and young ladies, who will surrender their life to vocation? How many Jacobs might we see? Would we be willing to say, God, we're going to put aside the gift so that we can get the giver of good gifts? And God, whatever you choose to do, that's up to you. We want to know you. We do know that your will is to save people. And God, we ask you to save people. That's up to you. So for the next two Tuesdays, I'm asking, I'm challenging, I'm calling you, would you fast to seek the heart of God, that he would do something that maybe you've not seen in a long time, that you would hear his voice, and that not that he would move to you, but you would move to him. Jesus, we honor you today, and we thank you for the privilege of being called children of yours, and that you give us the opportunity to know more about you. And I ask that today, God, I ask that today that you would save people in this room, that you would awaken dead hearts, that you would call them to life, that if there is someone in here who has never surrendered their life to you, they've never submitted to your rule and your reign in their life, would you do that today? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would confirm the words, that you would be the teacher today, that the things that someone might say, I'm agreeing with that, they would be agreeing because you've taught them today. We'd ask that to happen. Jesus, we've sought to lift you high in our singing. We've sought to lift you high in our teaching. Now, as we give back to you our tithes and offerings, may we lift you up. Thank you for being a generous God. I thank you for the generosity of these people. Now may we honor you. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.